Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you guys. This is Big D's, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. I love it. I love it. I love it. I thank you so much that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to hang out with us here at Good D's. You know, I just love, you know what I love to do? Do you know what we like to do here at Good D's? We truly enjoy sharing other people's their dreams, their passion, you know, the vision, the purpose, and the things they're doing in their life on a daily basis to impact the world. We like to do that through so many ways, through radio, television. We do it through live events, through webinars. We just love to share information because you know what I always say. If you and your purpose, guess what? You are helping someone else in their purpose. And guess what? I am purpose as well. But we just love it, love it, love it. You know, the thing that we have to realize is we have to support others. We have to be able to let other people know, you know what I always say, you have to believe, you got to trust, and you got to walk it out. And walking out sometimes is difficult. It's not easy. I mean, you know, some things we inherit via, you know, our history. Sometimes when things happen, we may have panic attacks. We may actually have depression. We, you know, mental illness, mental health, that's what I love to say. I like to say mental health. I don't like to really like to say mental illness. That's what my books say. You know, I'm an anesthesiologist, so that's what term we use in the medical field. But I really believe we want to say mental health. We want to actually get the information out so we can actually help each other to go through the process. If anyone has panic attacks, if anyone has schizophrenia, if anyone has a concern that they just not focus, there are so many people in our medical field that I see on a daily basis that can help us in that. Psychologists, psychiatrists, you know, of course, your regular physician can help us to go through the process that we actually, because you know what the ultimate goal is, we want to enjoy life. We want everybody to say, don't stop, get it. We want everybody to enjoy life. And we can't stop, we can't quit. And I'm saying that to say, we have an awesome, awesome young man with us today. He actually, him and his family, and we'll talk more in detail very shortly, they actually have experienced a lot of things. And they're going to actually enlighten us, you know, because mental illness, mental health, it affects 1 in 4 people. So this is actually, we need to talk about it. We actually need to get the information. We need to get the resources and read the information that we actually can help each other. We don't want to delay anything. We have the phones all lit up. We just want to make sure we have everything together. My team is saying we're good to go. We actually do not want to delay. We want to introduce the awesome author, Jules C. Drawer. And he's going to help me pronounce his name right when he gets on the line. But are you there, Jules?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me online. And the last name is Zudar.
Zudar. Oh, my God. I was trying to. Please forgive me. I have a warm heart, so I actually was trying to practice, and so I should have made the C silent. So please forgive me, Jules.
No worries. No worries whatsoever.
I want to do this before we start. I want to salute your wife. And I know you do this on a daily basis, I know. But we want to, and if it's okay, I'm going to say her first name, Miss Lisa. She actually is so professional. She actually is a, and I know you know this already, Jules, she is an awesome team player. She actually contacted us a while back, and we had to coordinate, you know, each other's schedule. But she answered the email so promptly. She was very professional and sent in all the information, your press kit, your website, everything is done in a spirit of excellence. So I just want to salute her that she actually, you know, like I said, my team, Jewel, they make me look good. So Lisa, she got it going on. She have you looking good there.
Yes, she does. She takes very good care of me. She's an excellent marketer, and she is tireless in pushing my book out there. And I do want to salute her, too, and I love her very much.
Oh, isn't it? I love marriage. That's amazing. Marriage does work, you guys. You know, let's just throw that tidbit out there. but Jules, this one, I just can't. I've read your book, and oh, my God, I passed it. My niece actually it has it now. She's reading it. It's just so amazing. And our listening audience, you know how I am about purchasing people's books. You know, make sure you purchase it now. Okay? But we want to talk about how did you come about writing this awesome, awesome publication?
What had happened is that my daughter and I went through some very trying times. It was, it really, the emphasis for the book was that Lisa and I were going to counseling for marriage counseling, and the pastor, you know, I started reiterating again what had happened in my life, and she said, wow, you should write a book. And I thought, yeah, sure, how am I going to write a book? I've never written a book in my life. So I actually tried to sit down and write it one time, and it was about 3 years ago, and I couldn't do anything. And then here, somewhere around April, I sat down and I wrote it in 7 months and got it out. And that was the impetus for the book.
Wow. Now, people, I just have to chime in on it because you know I'm an author and a publisher as well, Jules. He said 7 months. Isn't that amazing? If you focus on something, and that burning inside, you're going to get it done. So I do commend you for that. Oh, wow, that's amazing. And 7 months, that's not long at all. I mean, some people, and you know, Jules, you can kind of relate to what you said earlier. Some people have told me they've had a book inside of them all their life, 10 years, 20 years. But when you get that, like I said, that burning inside, and you actually meet somebody that is going through a similar situation, like you say, that book comes out like fire. It comes out, and you can't stop until you finish it.
That's very true. And, you know, and once you feel like you have a story and you have a compelling story to tell people, and hopefully it will help them being able to understand what you went through and how you coped with it. And, you know, it actually is a story that comes out well. You know, there are many stories that don't come out well, and clearly it was because of God that what happened turned out as well as it did. But eventually I got full sole legal custody of my daughter after 8 years of being in the court and battling with. And now I'm writing the second book where I raised my daughter by myself for the last, since 2000, I raised her by myself, and so that's the impetus for the next book. And the title of the next book is going to be Now That You Have Your Daughter, Pray for Grace.
Wow. I love that. Oh, wow. You stopped me in my tracks right there. I love the title. Wow.
Thank you.
Say that one more time, Jules. I'm going to have to write this down so I can make sure I be ready when you get this done.
The second book is called Now That You Have Your Daughter, Pray for Grace. And one of the reasons I wrote that is because, you know, as a single dad raising a child by yourself, especially a daughter, was very difficult. And, you know, I wasn't the touchy-feely kind of guy, but I had to learn how to hug my daughter, how to tell her that I love her, and how to be there for her and try to help her through the situation that she was with. And then, of course, we had all the problems that teenagers have as they're growing up, you know, trying to be independent and trying to tell you that they know more than you do. As a matter of fact, they know it all. So, you know, there was some times that were very trying. But through it all, you know, because of our relationship with God, we went to church, we had Christian friends, and through it all, we made it through. And now my daughter is doing very well. She graduated from college, has a job, and is married, and really very, very proud of her.
Oh, and, you know, I have to say this because, you know, my mom and dad, they're listening. And I love my mom to death, and I love my dad to death. But it's just something when you hear your dad say that, it just goes all over your body. So I know she really enjoys hearing that. Because the stages that we go through in life, And, you know, and that's the thing. I know she probably can relate to this as well. When we actually look for a mate, we actually always go back and say how our dad treated us. So you did an awesome, awesome job. I know you did. But you're right. God has to be first in any relationship we have, because there will be ups and downs. There will be, you know, obstacles and struggles that we have to make sure that we stay focused. Because if you get distracted, you know, that's a whole other can of worms there.
Yes. You know, it was funny. So many times God interceded, you know, in my first book when I was trying to get my daughter. And God interceded, you know, as I was raising my daughter. I'll never forget. It was probably about a few months into me getting custody of my daughter. And I was driving down the street, and I was just turning through some stations. And I happened to land on Dr. Laura. And what she said, it was almost like God had directed me to that station. She said, "Men, if you're not hugging your daughters every day, and if you're not telling them that you love them every day, she's going to find a man who will do that." And I thought, that's it. And that's when I really realized how much your children need to know that you love them. And affection is done through hugging and telling and saying to your children that you love them. You try to keep away from using words that, you know, might scar them down the line. And I tried very, very hard never to say, you know, that you're stupid or you're dumb. I think once or twice in my life I may have said something like you're stupid, but, you know, I apologize for that. And your children really, really need to be encouraged. They really need to know that you love them. Your children will love you irregardless of what you do. But when you go out of your way to tell your children and to help your children, they don't forget that, and that's when they try to grow up as healthy as they can, because they have a parent, but grow up as healthy as they can, because they know that they are loved irregardless of what happens.
That is so powerful. And I'm my parents, they didn't stand a rod, I'll put it that way. And I tripped out very well, Joel. But my thing is, I can look back when I, you know, like the teenagers, they don't understand why the parents, you know, they don't remember that their parents will have been young before. They don't want you to go through the heartache. They don't want you to have the, you know, disappointment and the crying like they may have been through. But, you know, it's hard to get the young people. But, you know, let me say this, because I'm not a parent, Jules, but you can maybe relate to this. When the way I was raised is totally different now and what my sister and these younger people are doing, because I used to be, I didn't want to disappoint my parents. I actually, you know, had the fear that I didn't want them to, my mom could look at me and I straighten up. But, you know, now I think the kids have so much so easy. I don't know how we really help them or not, because some of the things are so much given to them on a silver platter.
Well, I agree with you, and, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I think I spanked my daughter once in her whole life, but all I had to do, like you said, was look at her or say something to her, and she knew that I meant business. I think one of the problems in today's economy or society that we have going on right now is that we've somehow given kids equal rights as to parents. And somehow we want to, or, you know, I'm not saying myself, but there are people who want to be friends with their children instead of parents to their children. And then now all of a sudden, whatever they think is on an equal plane with what that, then you should hand over the finances to them and say, okay, you take care of the finances. You know, we have people saying that they should know when they want to put on makeup. They should know what kind of clothes they want to wear. They should know how late they stay out, and they should know what people they hang out with. Well, that to me is just it's leading them on a path that will take them down, because clearly they don't have the mental capacity in terms of learning and knowledge that we do. And that's why we're parents, is because we've experienced a lot of the things that they're going to experience. And to let them decide on what they are going to experience, as opposed to setting rules and regulations, is just sad. And let me tell you, my daughter, when she was 18 years old, she still had to come home at 11 o'clock at night. If she was going to go somewhere, she had to call me. And my daughter could not stay out past midnight until she was 21 years old. And this wasn't that long ago. Now, let me tell you, my daughter, for all of that, never lacked in anything. She was never hurt. And because of that, I think that parents are making a serious mistake when they think that they should equate their children to themselves and giving that kind of decision-making capacity.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. It's a big difference. My mom actually always said, my mom and dad, that we're not your friend.
That's right.
So I didn't get, but I've heard that so many times, Jules. And I got to tell you this right quick. This is just so funny. And I, you know, I'm less than 50, but I'm over 40. Let me put it that way.
Uh-huh.
This past Christmas, Jules, you know, we didn't open the door like kids do when the doorbell rang. We didn't do that growing up. And somebody came to the door and rang the doorbell. And me and my sister sat there and looked at each other. And we didn't get up. And my mom said, you guys are so funny. I said, well, you know, it's instilled in us not to open up our parents' door. And to this day, we kind of looked at each other and we wouldn't open the door.
Goodness. Well, you know, one of the things
that's just so funny.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I'm sure that you and I both went through, and my wife also, is that when we were kids, when we went over to somebody's house, we always said hi to the parents. Or whenever the parents came over to our house with their children, we always went and said hi. That was manners. Today, if you can get a kid to even acknowledge you're in the room, you've done something right.
Wow. And, you know, nowadays, we could take it even further. People don't even say good morning or hello nowadays. And we got to get back to that. And I want to come back to this, Jules, your relationship with God. We as Christians, we as believers, need to really stand on our post and be an example, like you, an awesome example like you are, and, of course, your lovely wife and family. We have to be examples so people can see us, because sometimes we're the only, what the saying is, we may be the only Bible somebody may read. We may be the only good example. So we have to continue to do the great things like you're doing.
Well, you know, I agree with you. And, you know, simple things like saying please and thank you shows that you're putting that person above you. And, you know, one of the things that Jesus asks us to do is love others as we love ourselves. Just imagine if we loved others as much as we loved ourselves, how much more different this world would be. But, you know, saying thank you, saying please, saying Mr. or Mrs. is a sign of respect and a sign of being brought up as, you know, putting others above you and putting others in a place where they are held in esteem. And so, you know, it the world today is all about you deserve it all, you can have it all, you can do this and all, and you can do that and all. And in all of that, you forgot everything else about doing everything for everybody else. So you can do all you want for you. But, you know, God's mandates are clear, and so is Jesus's, you know, help the fatherless, the widows, those in jail, you know, and help them in ways that the poor also. So if we're always thinking about what we can have it all, yeah, you can, but then you've missed out on a lot of what God has asked you to do. But not only that, you miss out on the blessing of seeing somebody's face who you've helped, who you've given something to, who just looks at you and starts crying and says, thank you so much. It's what I needed, and that's what I wanted. And that is the touch that they get from us that God would give them. And that's why he asks us to be his ambassador, so that they can see him through us. And I think that if the world would just think a little bit more clearer about what we are and what that love means. But, you know, in the retrospect of that, the enemy is out and about to kill, to rob, and to destroy. So we have to be very careful about how we walk today and walk our faith out today.
Yes, that's true. We have to what they say, have the whole armor of God. We really do. And, you know, we have to have that word in us because, you know, you can go right down the street and something, you have to make a decision to be good or bad. That's a nice way of saying it. So distractions do come, but we need to respond with the right attitude and have the right motive. I mean, that's a whole nother subject, Jules, that we have to have the right motive. I mean, everything we do and say, we really do.
I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And, you know, if we could, you know, it's so hard sometimes because, you know, we try to do the right thing and we want to do the right thing. And, you know, some days you feel like, oh, my gosh, was that me? And then other days you feel like, wow, I was doing it right today. But, you know, Paul said, I run the race, and I run it to the finish, to the end. And so, you know, if you fall down, you get back up, and you start running again. You fall down, you get back up, and you start running again. And you don't give up, because the end is what we are looking for, and that is our hope, that one day we will stand with our Father. But the other end, for those who don't stand with our Father, is sheer destruction in hell. And that is a scary, scary thought when you think about your friends who are not Christians, or you think about people who you know, and they're going to wind up totally separated from God for all eternity, is a scary thought for them. So we need to walk in it. We need to fight in it. We need to move on in it. We need to have our whole armor on, no matter how many times we fall and no matter how many times we falter.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, you know, because a lot of churches, I'm just saying a lot, I'm not putting a number on that, they don't really talk about hell, but it's a real place. And I think it was Joyce Meyer, Jules, that said, you know how some people say, is it really a God? But she said it so wonderfully. She said, well, what I'm doing, and I get to the end, and I find out that it is a God, that'll be, you know, wonderful, of course. But what if you are not doing what God has told you, you have not accepted Christ, and you get to the end and you end up in hell, that's eternity, and you can't come back from that. So, like, I agree with Joyce Meyer. We need to do the right thing and believe in God. We need to, because he speaks to us all the time. He speaks to us in our natural and our spiritual language. So we just need to sit down a minute and listen to what he has to say and spend time with him.
Yes, we do need to spend time with him, you know, and we need to, as a family, read together. We need to, as a family, pray together. We need to, as a family, hold each other up. You know, even we have difficulties in our families. You know, we've gone through some difficulties in our families as we, you know, got together. You know, blending families together sometimes can be a little difficult, and sometimes, you know, you have to just put yourself down and put others above you so that they can actually see the reason that you call yourself a Christian and see what it is that God is really doing in your life. Because, you know, we could preach to people all day long. We could tell them all day long what to do and how to do it and when to do it. But the real crux of the matter is they're watching you, and they're watching you like a hawk, and they want to know, are you doing what you say you are? Are you really acting out or walking out what you say you are? Because, you know, in the secular world, you can make mistake after mistake after mistake, and you're forgiven. But in the Christian world, if you make one mistake, oh, look at that. Look at that guy. He's not a Christian. Or look at that girl. She's not a Christian. And that's because they seem to think that we have to be perfect all the time. And that's not necessarily the case, but we certainly have to be walking out our faith and living our faith so that when people look at us, they can say, you know, he really does believe what he says.
I love it. Ooh, Jules, I'm just having a good time over here. I love it. You know, time goes by so quickly, Jules. What I want you to do, if it's okay, tell me, you know, you've been giving us so wonderful information so far, and you will continue. tell us any last-minute information. And, of course, please tell us how we can get your book and how we can actually be ready for the next book and how we can support you in the social media networks as well.
Great. Thank you so much. I have a website, wehaveyourdaughter.com. It's all one word, wehaveyourdaughter.com. My book is on Amazon, iBooks, Barnes & Noble, also on Givington's. And just a quick synopsis, the story is about my ex who actually kidnapped my daughter for about 4.5 years. She had some severe emotional health problems, and because of that, I had to battle her in court. It took 8 years. I was accused of abuse. I went to jail for a few days, and then it was just a terrible ordeal. But God wins in the end. So please love your children. Please tell them that you love them. Hug them every day. Give them the good words that they should hear instead of the words that would destroy. You're a great girl. You're a great guy. I'm so proud of you. But we also want to make sure that there is reason to say that, and not just say that just to, you know, if they come home with some great grades, you say right on and you give high fives. And then, you know, you also want to make sure that they're living life right. And I want to thank you so much for having me on your show. May God bless you and continue to bless you. And I'm very humbled by the fact that you had me on your show.
Well, I've learned so much. You guys, you gotta get this book. I sat in one of my big chair, and I really enjoyed reading it. And the piece, I got into the story. It drew me into the story. And then the piece at the end. And now since I actually have heard your voice, and I can tell from your wife that she, a wonderful young lady. But now it's sealed the package, as the old people say, that I know God has a great purpose and he will continue to bless you and your family with more and more and more prosperity. So thank you so much, Jules.
Thank you. Thank you also. And may God richly bless you and may he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Woo, you guys, you know, we could keep going on and on and on. Oh, I loved it. I loved it. But what we're going to do at the end here, we have an awesome, awesome spotlight artist. We're going to actually listen to, you know, I have the right song. He gave me 3 to use, but I think the one that actually would go wonderful is what Jewel said, Dodora said so wonderfully, that we need to pray and we need to ask God what we need to do. We need to continue to pray for each other, that we can continue to go higher and higher in him, not in ourselves. And this is Smiler Dawn Live, his actual song we're going to witness. I love it. I play it so many times. It's called Pray For Us. And you know, this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Excuse me for a second while I talk to my father. You know, sometimes you just gotta let go and let God. There ain't no specific way you gotta pray, just pray. Put your hands folded, put your eyes to the sky, just pray. Pray for me, I'ma pray for you. And I'm asking God to pray for us.
Astronomical pressure weighs me down every day. Got me consistently plotting routes for my soul to escape. When I think of the past, most of the time I reminisce pain. Will I leave this place smiling, unfolded, on shirt stains? Some contemplate suicide and I can't place no blame. Seem like we'll see them soon, our leaders leading us that way. We used to be proud to have a child for all the promise they gave. Now we cry, look in the clouds because their futures are haze. Righteousness is progress, ignorance set us back further. They reaching for false dreams, wanna be athletes, godfathers. Telling our neighbor poison and our neighborhood disintegrate. We choosing right over wrong, not fully weighing the stakes. We selfish, long as we come up, we feel it's not our problem. We born with a disposition, supposed to be better men than our fathers. I was once one of the masses, eyes blinded by objects. With plenty hard, but none of us got 1 ounce of conscience. Pray for us, Heavenly Father, it's hard to sustain. Tribulations make a stronger man, but things you see are insane. Even if they close their eyes, I know they feel the blood in the streets. Here I am on bending knee, not asking only for me, but pray for us, Heavenly Father. It's hard to maintain. Tribulations make a stronger man, but things you see are insane. Even if they close their eyes, I know they feel the blood in the streets. So here I am on bending knee, not asking only for me, but pray for us.
Pray for us. us. Pray for us, Father, have mercy.
Most of us will suppress feelings till it directly affects them, but I bet you and someone you know someone in prison, cause we're the third generation of government-sanctioned experimentation, poor education, intimidation, and political assassination, and then what we do, kill each other to keep a system in place that was designed to keep us suppressed in the first place, fool. I pray that God give me the insight that he gave Tupac, and may my aim be as true, like when Pac shot him to top. In the civil rights days, no one had buzzword movement, but nowadays, most of us throw away millions with no excuses. My folks, they blow dope on objects to obtain, but who of you has been that same loop for a positive change? Maybe we need a revolution to try to right these wrongs, but everyone doing their own thing, no united front. But whoa, smaller time must have himself a death wish, cause once we come against oppression, they'll label him terrorist. Pray for us, Heavenly Father, it's hard to sustain. Tribulations make a stronger man, but things we see are insane. Even if they close their eyes, I know they feel the blood in the streets. Here I am on bended knee, not asking only for me, but pray for us, Heavenly Father. It's hard to maintain. Tribulations make a stronger man, but things we see are insane. Even if they close their eyes, I know they feel the blood in the streets. So here I am on bended knee, not asking only for me, but pray for us.
Pray for us. Pray for us, Father, have mercy.
Not just for me, Lord, bless everyone, no matter the struggle. I know you hear us calling, enjoy it when our lives on the bubble. It's just sometimes we need your wisdom, calling hope wasn't home. Most time we make the wrong decision when dialing our own cell phone. Satan's greatest trick, convincing the world he didn't exist. But we know different, cause we live in a hood with some of his minions. In the scriptures, they make mention of thugs in times biblical. So please forgive me as I continue the task of chasing my issues. It's disturbing when a person's whole world comes crashing down after repeated rebuilding on what then seems solid ground. I try to live right, but with my vision in the brightest light, but the judgment day I'll probably be the most valuable sodomite. I believe and keep faith even though I can't see you. Hope my fan base equal the number of folks believing in you. These cats can write a beat, but they're constant and tired, so please guide me when I preach and baptize with this fire. Pray for us.
Father God, I thank you for this day, Father. I just want to say that I love and adore you. I bless your holy name. Thank you for giving me the use of my limbs, this sweet air to breathe, the ground that I walk beneath, Father. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my family. I pray for my mother. I pray for my father. I pray for my brothers and sisters, my nieces and nephews, my extended family, my friends. Father God, I also pray for those who will not or cannot pray for themselves, Father. I ask that you offer them guidance, wisdom, and understanding, Father. Father, bring more people closer to you so that they will understand what true love means, so that they'll be able to spread it to other people. Each one teach one. I choose to serve you. Pray for me, Father. It's an uphill battle.